I'm here joined with Aztec Sun, a funk band from DC, and they're absolutely incredible. Hello, guys.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how's it going? Do you want to introduce yourselves to everyone?
Hi, I am Steph, the lead singer and rhythm guitarist of Aztec Sun.
I'm Ketch, keyboard player.
I'm Ray, I play guitar.
All right, welcome you guys. And how was the commute and everything from DC?
It was lovely.
Lovely.
Yeah, just across, okay. Across a couple bridges, across the 66.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Spice Girls on the way here.
Yeah.
Spice Girls is given the best road trip music ever.
Yes.
Absolutely. Spice up your life.
If you want to be my lover.
Yeah.
best. So let's talk about you guys starting up as a band. How did you guys form? Did you all know each other prior to starting up?
So it's sort of interesting and fortuitous because it started out 4 years ago as four guys who were trying to meet up to just jam off of Craigslist, and then it grew into sort of the first version of the band, and I think we sounded more like sort of a Red Hot Chili Peppers type of funk, and then eventually with people moving in and out of DC, we grew to the 8 or 9 piece that we are now, and then now we've got like a full horn section, keys, 2 guitars, drums, bass, and a whole lot of dancing and, you know, good vibes. So that's kind of how we came together.
And having like 8 or 9 members in the band, what's it like having all those talents and all those different mindsets coming together in this musical arrangement?
It's certainly interesting. It's like because I mean, you know, some
kind
of us have like
question.
Classical. Some of us have classical backgrounds. Some of us have, you know, rock backgrounds, and some of us listen to like funk, soul, R&B. So that adds to the versatility of our band and our music. Mm-hmm. But it also makes it difficult sometimes when, like, you know, one person wants a song to go a certain direction, and then, you know, 7 others are like, you know what? No, we should turn this into a reggae song. So.
I think that's like a really great piece of our sound, is that you can always find something in one of our songs. If you are, you know, really into blues, it's not just a funk band that, you know, that we play. Just there's a lot of jazz influence, there's a lot of blues influence, there's a lot of pop influence, and that's because we really do come from so many different places.
All right. And
I agree.
That's really awesome, having all those minds kind of set the tone in terms of creativity and just embracing these different perspectives. And that's what makes your music unique and so likable. So do each of the members, do they see it as kind of a career or like a general interest or like just a way to jam or?
I think for a lot of us, it's a creative output, that if it could become a way for us to not have to work 9-to-5 jobs, I think we would get there. I mean, our drummer and our trombone player are music teachers now.
Oh, sweet.
Sax player, too.
Oh, and our sax player. Yeah, Dave, that's right. Sorry, Dave. Yeah, he's a music teacher, too. But I think for all of us, if we could get to that point where we could support ourselves and, you know, not have to do the 9-to-5 thing, I think that would be great. But I think we're still having fun right now, you know, living the...
Just experimenting with, like, the music and the funk scene and everything. It's just...
Yeah.
Awesome. And, you know, who knows? Like, you can never tell what could happen in the future.
Never know.
You never know. But it's inevitable. Definitely. So what are your main influences, and what artists do you see as kind of a prime inspiration to your music?
I think answering for everyone is going to be hard because everyone likes a lot of different stuff. I'm personally big in the jam bands, but I do like a lot of jazz and a lot of blues and even like a lot of bluegrass. I guess you guys can.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of where my inspiration comes from is a lot of Motown, a lot of Charles Bradley and Alan Stone. Actually, nowadays I've been getting into a lot. I think that's kind of where some of my influence is coming into play.
And then for me, it's, you know, some of those, and then also people like Prince and Michael Jackson, James Brown. You know, Morris Day and the Time, just kind of that classic funk, and definitely a lot of the Motown soul artists definitely influence how we write.
I think we all would agree that Snarky Puppy is on that list. That's like a universal inspiration when we play.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A lot of them cross path.
You know, like
me, Steph, and D'Angelo. It was so many, just like, oh man, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought about D'Angelo, and I was like, can't leave off D.
Yeah.
So do you think that like kind of your music reflects the funk scene in DC? What do you think of that?
I think it's probably in part, but I think what's interesting about the funk scene is that it encompasses so many different genres. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, a couple names that sort of stand out in terms of classic DC funk, like Chuck Brown, but mm-hmm. I think our music, kind of like what Ray and Catch were talking about, is it blends so many different genres. So we call ourselves Funk with Soul, but we may have a section in our song that has like, you know, like a Latin sort of break, or mm-hmm. we'll have a sort of jazz jam in the middle of a song that could be an EDM hit, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's it kind of does reflect the scene, I think, but not necessarily as tying directly to the genre, more as a nice kind of sandwich of it.
Yeah, it's definitely like a very diverse, kind of indescribable scene in DC that sets us apart from any other metropolitan city. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about DC. It's just so diverse in that way. Yeah. So you said that your music kind of draws from blues, a little bit from maybe rock, jazz. Is that like kind of having those different disciplines of music? Do you think that kind of reflects your fan base and like how your fan base is kind of unique in that way?
I think our fan base is unique in a sense of, I think that their music tastes are probably just as eclectic as ours are. Mm-hmm. You know, like some of it may come from, oh, I'm going to see my friends. They may think that they're just being supportive of, you know, their friend's band, and they may like some other type of music. But when they actually come, they're like, oh, wow, you guys are actually like a competent band, and they're like good.
Yeah. So like really that could this, be
So like that, and maybe we could get them onto some band like Snarky Puppy or something, mm-hmm. where they just may not have even gone in that direction, mm-hmm. but just through us, hopefully, you know, maybe they'll check out Snarky Puppy.
We've been impressed too when we've played larger festivals or like outdoor shows where it's not a traditional concert venue. You know, we're tapping into 65-year-old people, 7-year-old people we've seen out on the Cherry Blossoms Festival or the 8th Street Festival, grooving. You're like, that's not an audience member that we were traditionally going for and thinking mm-hmm. that we would be able to touch, and that's been a constant surprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, performing in different places, whether it's a smaller venue or maybe a big music festival, do you think that you've kind of gained a greater experience in terms of your performances? Like, you've gained a greater, like, sense of how to interact with the audience in a way? Like, what do you think?
Definitely. I think, you know, our music, we're sort of promoting this EP, but being a band that records is an experience for us. We're very much a band that thrives and is known for mm-hmm. the live performance aspect, mm-hmm. and definitely with the experiences we've had over the past, you know, years, we've gotten better at reading a crowd and knowing how to switch our set list mm-hmm. Sort of on the fly, just to get people to react a certain way, or to at least open up to whatever we've got next for the rest of our set. And getting the chance to perform gives us that opportunity to practice beyond just our rehearsals on our own. I think it's a great place to be like, you know what, all right, we just played after a rock band, like how do we mm-hmm. entertain people, like how are we going to hit them with our brand of funk and soul mm-hmm. and still entertain and have mm-hmm. a good show.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that's what ultimately sets you apart from other bands who are who like call themselves funk bands. Like you guys have performed with Major and the Monbacks, which kind of is a jazzy rock kind of vibe, along with Alana Royale, who is kind of smooth. I listen to her music. It's actually, she's good. Yeah. Like really awesome. Smooth, kind of on the borderline of Amy Winehouse almost. Mm. And like, it's really cool that because like your music is so diverse and it falls under all these different music genres, you're able to kind of connect with other bands in that way. Contribute.
That's a
nice
compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. That felt good. Can you say that again?
Let's talk about this again.
Well, you know, just on that performance aspect, I just want to pitch that if you haven't seen us, this front man is the best front man in DC. He hustles like no one does. And the man to the left of me, Ray, they've choreographed dance moves throughout our set. I'm telling you, that has evolved, and it's been a fun 3-year evolution.
We're
so.
Also probably the sweatiest band
yes.
in DC.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
For sure. I think, last week, Friday, we played a Halloween show at the Black Cat.
Ooh, okay.
Many of us were wearing leather, so
worth it.
And some of us pleather, so sweating and dancing was not exactly... it was a painful process, but definitely worth it. When we
Was this the 80s dance party at the Black Cat?
No. This was the Halloween circus. So,
okay.
Was,
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. So it was like themed and stuff. We actually, fun fact, we all did a different version of Michael Jackson.
Oh,
there's some
nice.
Michael Jackson cover. So we covered the spectrum.
So your Michael own Jackson kind of great. Like interpretation of Michael Jackson?
We tried to be
different music videos.
Yeah, different videos, different eras of Michael.
Okay.
So
I like it.
Like Catch was Michael Jackson bad. Ray was you were bad.
I was bad, yeah.
You were bad. Oh, we had our bass player who was Dangerous, Michael Jackson. I was Thriller.
Johnny was Beat It.
Johnny was it Beat It or Black or White?
Black or White, actually it was Black or White.
And then our horn section was, Sarah was Billie Jean.
That's
our
amazing.
Our horn section was the Zombies from Thriller. I mean, we really tried to work it.
Yeah. So is the Black Cat like your typical go-to performance spot, or what do you think?
It's kind of become that sort of, it's kind of become one of the venues we've played the most this year. And I guess shout out to Johnny Gray for having us play there for this Halloween circus, but also opening us to that venue, or opening the venue to us back in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been this like really cool venue that we've all wanted to play. And, we got to play, was it 3 times this year?
3 times.
Yeah.
Very grateful for Black
great,
Cat.
Great place.
And they love us, we love them, so it's awesome.
Yeah, great go-to place. I love the arcade there.
Yeah.
And the food is always good.
Yeah. The arcade. So an hour before we go on, 4 of us were sitting down eating our food, and I'm standing in front of one pinball machine out of 5.
Uh-huh.
And there's no one else standing at the other 4 machines, and we're all talking, and this guy walks right up, looks at me, he says, "Excuse me." He's like, we're talking, and there's 4 other machines, and he wanted the Harry Potter machine.
Oh.
He was very, very committed, so.
Oh, wow.
That
was
funny.
It was funny.
He must be a committed fan.
Funny.
So do you guys usually perform only in D.C., or do you ever go outside of D.C., maybe Virginia, Maryland?
We're outside of D.C. right now.
True. That's true. That is true.
So we've played, so mostly in D.C., we've played in Virginia, we've played in in Maryland, we've played in Philly, we've played in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, so trying to sort of, I mean, it's hard to move 9 people, so it's...
That's true,
we're
definitely.
We're trying to keep that as a circuit, and I think that's a pretty good one for now. You know, we have dreams of going to, because we're all from different places as well, so we have dreams of going to, like, upstate New York or California or Canada, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen at some point, but
it's always
we've got,
possible.
2 shows outside of DC coming up. We're playing in Frederick,
okay,
at the
cool.
Blue Side Tavern, with Soul Exchange, which is going to be a great show. That's on the 11th of November, and then we're playing at the Camel in Richmond, which is going to be great with
Kings
on the 18th.
Yeah,
I heard those are both really nice venues like great startup places.
We've never been, so awesome.
Yeah, you guys have to tell me how it goes. Definitely,
okay. We'll also tell them that you sent that. Tell them that you sent us.
Okay. All right.
You gotta invite us back for you to tell us how.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely invite you guys back, without a doubt.